My six-year-old son brought home a book from a school used book sale last weekend. I'm always up for something new for us to read at bedtime, so I happily asked what he'd picked out, and then he showed me. Fire and Floods, it's called. Well, isn't that just perfect for the first Sunday of Advent? It's not actually a book about the end times. It's a book aimed squarely at six-year-olds, with lots of pictures of natural disasters and the heroic people who show up to help and protect others, firefighters and sailors and rescue workers of all kinds. My son is captivated by this kind of thing, and of course he's not the only one. People of all ages flock to big, loud films filled with danger and close calls and threats to life as we know it. Disasters make great movies and great headlines. We're attracted to this kind of thing. It sells, it captivates, it draws clicks. Until, of course, it doesn't anymore. Until we get so tired of bad news that we can't bring ourselves to look. Until, like me, you don't really want to open yet another book of fire and floods. And then, here it is in church. There will be signs in the sun and the stars and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the waves, Jesus says. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It sounds like the commercial for another disaster film, or worse, like some of the actual news that we read and digest on a daily basis. And here it is in church, on the first Sunday of Advent of all times. Isn't this kind of the day when we're supposed to be feeling some warmth and anticipation for Christmas? When we're glad to see our old friend, the Advent wreath, out again, and when we come to sing a verse or two of O Come, Emmanuel? Isn't that kind of enough? What's with all the fire and floods today? You might very well think that the purpose of a reading like this one is to make people good and afraid. The church has used these kind of readings that way plenty of times before. But look carefully at what Jesus says. Yes, he says, disturbing things will happen and people will be afraid. But here is what I am asking you to do. Stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This passage fits into a particular kind of speech that we find in several places in the Bible, and the technical term for it is apocalyptic. Now, I know that's a word that we generally think just means something really nasty and awful and scary and catastrophic. But last week, I saw an article in the newspaper talking about the insect apocalypse, by which the author meant swiftly and dramatically declining populations, lots of bugs dying out, which is frightening news. We use the word that way all the time, but when it comes to the Bible, apocalyptic literature does not actually mean the really awful parts. The word apocalypse in Greek literally means a revealing, a pulling back of the curtain, an unveiling of some deeper or hidden truth that we can't normally see. Apocalyptic literature in the Bible says, yes, I know this is the way things look around you right now, but there's something else at work. Here, let me give you a glimpse. This sort of unveiling or revealing can take lots of different forms. It might mean recognizing that something we thought was permanent is in fact transitory, or that something we thought was trustworthy is in fact not nearly strong enough to hold us, or that ideas or persons or institutions that we had given our allegiance to are not in fact ultimate. And depending on your context, that sort of news may sound very, very good or deeply uncomfortable. Pastor and writer Nadia Bolz-Weber recently wrote that the Me Too movement is giving us an apocalyptic moment right now. Women everywhere have been coming forward and sharing the truth that they have experienced horrific sexual harassment and violence. And it can feel like, because we are hearing so much about this right now, there must have been some dramatic increase or rise in sexual assault over the last years. No, says Boltz-Weber, this is nothing new. This kind of thing has been happening forever. And what we are witnessing right now is that truth being revealed. The movement is simply making visible what was already there, pulling back the curtain, bringing the hidden truth into the light. That's an apocalypse. In one sense, this kind of revealing is deeply uncomfortable. It's not easy to see the truth that our societies have allowed and often continue to allow this sort of harmful behavior to take place for so many. It's not easy to have the mirror held up that way, to see the depths of injustice and violence and hurt around us. The news itself is absolutely necessary. It is also disturbing and uncomfortable. And when we bring our ears and eyes of faith into an apocalyptic moment like this one, we do find that there is also gospel or good news to hold on to. Dominant powers are not ultimate powers, Boltz-Weber says. Empires fall, tyrants fade, systems die. God is still around. Patriarchy, sexism, racism, all systems of oppression are passing, our faith tells us, and they are no match for the eternal love of God. Which brings us now back to the words that Jesus gives to his disciples in this moment when fear is in the air, when it seems like the ground beneath them is shaking and it's hard to know where to stand. He doesn't say, lie down and bury your head in a blanket, though we might feel a need to do that every once in a while. He doesn't say, put on a pair of headphones and turn them up so that you drown everything else out. He doesn't say, run around in circles and panic. He says, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus gives his disciples and us a clear alternative to fear in the times when the foundations seem to be shaking. Fear is everywhere these days. In the mouths of politicians, in articles on our phones, in conversations we strike up with our neighbors, in our own hearts, much of the time. And Jesus says, let go of your fear, because it will not help you to do any of the things that I call you to do. It won't help you love your neighbor, or care for the earth, or welcome a stranger, or advocate for justice, or make room at the table, or forgive those who have wronged you. Let go of your fear, Jesus says, because in me you have a sure footing to stand on. Though heaven and earth will pass away, my words will not pass away. Let go of your fear, Jesus says, because you still have a job to do. Stand up and raise your heads. In a few moments, the choir is going to sing a song that is firmly apocalyptic. My Lord, what a morning when the stars begin to fall. It seems strange to be celebrating the end of the world, right? I like stars a whole lot. I imagine you do. What's there to celebrate in them falling from the sky? But remember where this song comes from. It's a spiritual first sung by African American slaves in a time when legalized oppression seemed as ubiquitous and immovable as the heavens. To dream and to sing of a day when those particular heavens would shake and trumpets would sound to wake the nations was an act of deep faith that allowed these people to live another day and to imagine something greater. These faithful singers did not sit down and hide their faces. They stood up and raised their heads because they knew that the love of God is enduring and is greater than all structures of oppression, all that would make us afraid. That's the kind of trust that we need these days, when fear is being peddled and perpetrated all around us. Trust that allows us to lift up our voices and to act. I know that it's hard to know how always to act in these moments when the needs seem overwhelming when so many places in our world seem to cry out for healing and for justice and for the revealing light of truth, it's hard to know where to start, what to say, what to do. So here's one start. Pray. In a moment and over the course of the coming week, you are going to be invited to pray for a specific place in the world, perhaps one with its share of hurts right now. Let this place into your heart and into your life and into your prayers this week. It's not the whole answer, of course, but it's a start. And as I've been told by wise friends and mentors, when you pray for something, you shouldn't be surprised if God means to use you as part of an answer to that prayer. In the middle of a fearful moment, Jesus calls his disciples to trust that redemption is sure, that all of history, all of time, all of creation is finally in God's hands, that no tyrant, no oppression, no disaster, nothing can separate us from the eternal love of God. Here at the start of Advent, Jesus calls us into that sort of trust as well. My friends, God is faithful. So stand up and raise your heads. Amen.